evening.
We'll start with invocation prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatshe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Okay, so anybody remembers what we discussed last time? What was the... So, what did we discuss last time? Idea at all? Yeah. At least which verses? So we started chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 last time. We discussed text 1 and text 2. Okay, all the kids. Please be quiet and listen. Okay? So, we started chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, which is titled Contents of Gita Summarized, Gita Ka Sar or Sankhya Yoga. And we discussed the acronym for chapter 2, which is Gita. So chapter 2 acronym is, we discussed in terms of Gita. G stands for Guru. So Arjuna finally accepted Krishna. In first phase of chapter 2, he accepts Krishna as his Guru. He surrenders to Krishna as his disciple. And I stands for identity. So when Krishna started speaking, first knowledge he gives is our real identity, who we are. Not the body, but the spirit soul. Then T stands for two duties. What are the two duties? Swadharma and Sanatan Dharma. So first Krishna instructs, okay, you work based on your Swadharma as your occupational duty, which is as a Kshatriya you are supposed to fight. So Karam Kanda principle, with the tendency to enjoy the results, you do your work. But next he moves on to Sanatan Dharma. Do your duty based on your relationship with the Supreme Lord. without the desire of result. So T stands for two duties, then A is Atmaram. So the last phase of, last part of this discussion in chapter 2 is about the transcendentalist. How a transcendentalist, how does he behave, how does he act, how does he speak, how does he sit? So Arjuna asks various questions. So how does a transcendental, the person situated in transcendence, how does he act? So A stands for Atmaram, Sthitya Pragya. So we discussed text 1 and 2 where Krishna started speaking to Arjuna not as a guru yet. So far Arjuna has described that, okay, Arjuna is speaking. He is describing from his point of view all the reasons why he doesn't want to fight. Right? First chapter was all Arjuna was speaking, giving different reasons why he doesn't want to fight. And Krishna is just listening. So Arjuna gave his conclusion. So far Arjuna gave the conclusion, I don't want to fight, and he sat down on the chariot, crying, tears flowing from his eyes. He is fully under lamentation, grief. And he said, I don't want to fight. So Krishna, as of now, as a role of friend, he is doing as a pep talk, or sometimes as a friend, we chastise other friend. Why you are acting like this? You should do this. Right? Sometimes as a friend we can tell to other friend.
Mentoring.
As a mentoring. He has not really started as a mentoring, as a guru. So he is just telling from, as a two friend, just sometime two friend talk. No, you should not do this, you should do this. So Krishna started chastising Arjuna. From where all these impurities have come upon you? Kutastva kashmalam idam. And you are not acting like a person who knows the value of life. Anarya yushtam, aswargyam, akirtikram. So he said, this will lead to not fame, but infamy. It will not lead you to heavenly planets, but to the sinful reaction. So discuss that. And next verse, Krishna is continuing his chastising Arjuna or prompting him to get up and fight. So we'll recite text 3. Klebhyam ma samagamah partha netatvaya upapadyate kshudram hriday dorbalyam tyakta uttishtha parantapa. Anybody want to recite? Quickly. If somebody would like to recite, text 3.
Klaibyam asma skugama partha naitatyatya upadhati shudram hridaya darbalyam yaktatishto parantapa.
Klaibyam asma gama partha naitatya upadhati shudram hridaya darbalyam yaktatishto uttishta parantapa. O son of Pratha, do not yield to this degraded impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of enemy. So Krishna is again prompting Arjuna without telling him all the details. He's just encouraging him. No, you as a Kshatriya, you should get up and fight. Give up all this weakness of heart. So there are a few very strong words used by Krishna to provoke Arjuna. One is like sometimes as a friendly talk, you can tell other friend, "Tum napunsak ban gaya hai kya? Get up and do your duty." So Krishna is doing same thing. Kalebhyam. What is the meaning of kalebhyam? Kalebhyam is napunsak. Hijra. Tu hijra ban gaya hai kya? Because Krishna is reminding Arjuna that you were turned into a eunuch in your last phase of when they were to suppose to live 1 year incognito. Mm-hmm. So he had taken the role of eunuch as a Brihannala. Right? So that is eunuch, hijra. So Krishna is reminding him that Klebhyam ma samagama partha, why you are acting like an important person? So he's reminding him that when you were in incognito, and that time you were turned into a eunuch, but externally you were eunuch, but internally you were still Arjuna. And you fought when all the Kauravas attacked to Virat. You fought and you got victory over them. So that time you were externally a Klebya, a eunuch, but you fought as your real nature or your real self as Arjuna. Now you are externally Arjuna, but internally you are acting like a eunuch, a Klebya. Kshudram Hridaya Dorbalyam. So he's saying this is not the act of a Kshatriya. You are acting like a lowly person, a Kshudra. Hridaya Dorbalyam. And all this is because of the weakness of heart. Now when there is weakness of heart, there is no determination. So he has got all this weakness of heart because of his external attachment to the bodily platform with all his relatives and friends. And because of this weakness of heart, he is not able to do his duty. Now in our situation, what happens? Do we get victim of weakness of heart sometime? Or most of the time?
Most of the
time. Any example? Because when we are reading Bhagavad Gita, we should try to relate to our situation, right? Then we can understand better that, okay, what Arjuna was in situation, if we put ourselves in his situation, what are our circumstances to do our duties or what we are really supposed to do and how we get victim of this weakness of heart, our old conditionings. So, weakness of heart in the sense, okay, to train our kids. Okay, take one example. So sometimes we are overly affectionate towards the child, not concerned about, okay, what is really good for him. When the child cries and cries and cries, rolls on the ground, ultimately we give up. Okay, take it. Don't cry. And kids take use of this technique, right? They misuse that. So that is our weakness of heart. Because of overly affection to kids, we sometimes give up what is really good for them and we give them what they want. Another example, we know we are supposed to, we should get up in the morning, do some sadhana, some chanting. It's our conditioning, weakness of heart. In the morning, alarm clock rings, mind says, no, sleep another half an hour, it's okay. You can cover up. That's another weakness of heart. We know what I'm supposed to do, but we give up. As a householder, maybe a housewife, maybe they know, right, what is my duty, to take care of the house, to take care of the kids, to do all my chores properly. But we give up sometimes as a weakness of heart. Sometimes laziness comes, all that old conditionings. So that is weakness of heart. We know we should go to satsang program on time. 7:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30 is the time. We think, 8 o'clock is fine. We will not miss anything. It's okay. Right? So we, that's so old conditioning. So that is another excuse, right? Better than not coming, at least come late. 8:30, at least still something will get. So because of that, then it becomes conditioning. If every time it's happening, it becomes second nature. So we should not, that is weakness of heart.
Second nature to do your duties.
So weakness of heart, Krishna is clearly telling Arjuna, this is because of weakness of heart. Whatever all you are thinking, that, oh, if I do this, this will happen. If I kill all my relatives, I have to kill them and it's not good based on the scriptures, blah, blah, blah. He is doing all as a scholarly talk. But Krishna is saying, no, that's all nonsense. You are speaking, he will tell further, you are speaking like a learned person, but you are speaking all foolish. And it's all the impurities have come upon you. This is because of weakness of heart. Hridaya Dwarbalyam, the clear word he uses. Tyakta Uttishtha. So now he is provoking him. Give up all that impurity. Give up all that weakness of heart. Uttishtha. Get up and fight. Parantapaha. Now here in this verse, Krishna has used two addresses to Arjuna. One is Partha, second is Parantapaha. What is the meaning of Partha? son of Pritha. Who is Pritha? Kunti Devi. Kunti. Right? So Arjuna is son of Kunti. So he is addressed as Parth. But here, Krishna's intention to call him Parth is very specific actually. It's not as a casual address to call him as Parth. He is reminding Arjuna indirectly two specific events which happened. Now, Pritha, she is also Kshatriya, right? She is a Kshatrani. And the child of a Kshatriya woman, he is supposed to do his duty. So actually what had happened is when Krishna came as a peace messenger to Hastinapur, so no peace settlement happened, no peace agreement happened. So before leaving, Krishna met Kunti Devi. And Kunti specifically told Krishna, when you go back, give this message to Arjuna. That you are my son and you should do your duty. You should do as your duty as a Kshatriya. Don't hesitate to fight. Even if you have to kill all these people, you should do your duty. As a son of a Kshatriya, this is your duty. So, Pritha gave this message through Krishna to Arjuna. So, Krishna is reminding Arjuna, you remember that. Your mother had sent this message. You should do your duty. Fight. For the honor of your mother and to protect the honor of your wife. And second event was, he is reminding him another event when Arjuna was in Drona's Gurukul. When he finished his studies, Dronacharya asked for Guru Dakshina. So one was like specific Guru Dakshina, he asked everybody, all the students. What was that? He asked them to bring Drupad, capture Drupad and bring him, imprison him and bring him in front of Drona. So that was as a generic Guru Dakshina, he asked all the disciples. All 5 Pandavas and 100 Kauravas. But there was one particular Guru Dakshina, he asked specifically to Arjuna alone, in private. Because Arjuna was a most dear student of Drona, right? Most favorite. And Drona asked him one specific Guru Dakshina, and that time he addressed Arjuna as Parth. That, hey Parth, if sometime in future a situation arises that you have to fight with me, don't hesitate to fight with me. Even if you have to kill me, you should not hesitate. So that time Drona also addressed Arjuna as Parth, that addressing him that you are son of a Kshatriya. Your mother is a Kshatriya woman, Kshatrani. And if sometime if somehow the situation arises, so that is the Guru Dakshina I want, that if you have to fight with me, you should not hesitate to kill me. So Krishna is reminding him just by saying this word. So here now we are discussing all this in detail. When Krishna is describing to Arjuna, he is just speaking the shloka. He is not pausing and telling him all that background stories. But just address of Krishna, Arjuna understands, right? Why he is addressing me with this name. What is the significance behind this? Another word, another address used is Parantapa. What is the meaning of Parantapa? So if we do the Sandhi Ched, the word Parantapa. Par and Tapa. Who tortures others or who kind of puts into others into trouble, like all his enemies. So the Parantapa word here, if you read, or chastiser of the enemies. Parantapa. And another meaning is Parantapa Paramtapa, who does most severe austerities. So Arjuna is both way. He can be addressed both ways. Arjuna performed a lot of austerities. And he was able to travel to heavenly planets in the same body. Right? When he was in exile for 12 years, he did so many austerities that he reached Swarga. And he has done so many activities to chastise his enemies. So he is addressed as Parantapa, that you are chastiser of the enemies and you are performer of so great austerities. So Krishna is invoking him, get up and fight. This weakness of heart is not suitable for you. It doesn't befit you. So Krishna just spoke these two verses So Arjuna started speaking again. So what is Arjuna says? So now, see, so far in first chapter, we know Arjuna gave four responses. And one of them was, if I kill the elderly people of the families will become corrupt. All the elderly people are killed, nobody will perform the rituals, all these sacrifices will stop and the families, women will be corrupted, unwanted progeny will come. So he had given that reason. Now in that reason, he is further solidifying, strengthening that response. So Arjuna's quiver, he has shot all the arrows for not fighting, all the reasons. So now he is taking out the last arrow as a sentiment. Sometime if nothing works, right, we try to convince somebody from sentimental point of view. So that's what Arjuna is doing now. To try to convince Krishna, no, allow me not to fight. He is giving a sentimental reason now to Krishna. What is that? Arjuna uvacha katham bhishmaham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyotsyami purvahar arisudana. Arjuna said, O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? So the word uses katham bhishmaham sankhe drona cha madhusudanah pujarva arisudanah pujarva, they are worthy of my worship. How should I counterattack them? And we'll read the next verse also and then discuss both together. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo bhoktum bheksham api haloke hatvart kamam saguru niheva bhunjya bhogan rudhira pradhigdhan. It would be better to live in the world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gains, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. So Arjuna gave further this response to his previous response, adding on to that. He's saying all these people, Bhishma and Drona specifically. See what had happened in the beginning. Arjuna had asked Krishna, take my chariot in the midst of the two armies so I can see who all have assembled here. And Krishna specifically brought the chariot and placed it exactly in front of Bhishma and Drona. So where they were direct in the front. So Arjuna became completely bewildered. Now he is giving this reason that Bhishma and Drona specifically, they are my teachers and they are worthy of my worship. I should worship them. How should I counterattack them in battle? Even if they are desiring, if they are on the side of Duryodhana who is desiring material gains, still these people are worthy of my worship. If we kill them, even if we get victorious, everything we enjoy will be tainted with their blood. So how can I enjoy? So he's combining again those two reasons, lack of enjoyment, loss of enjoyment, and killing all these elderly people will result into loss of family traditions. So Arjuna is saying, so first of all, he's addressing both of them as teachers. Now Bhishma was Pitamaha, grandfather, and Drona was specifically his teacher, but he is putting both of them as teacher, because we said sometimes it's not that we have one teacher, right? In spiritual life also we have one guru, which is as a Diksha Guru, who gives Diksha, initiation, but then there are a lot of Siksha Gurus who give us some teaching. So same way here, even though Bhishma is grandfather, but Arjuna has learned a lot of things from Bhishma. And later on, Drona was appointed as an official teacher. So Drona is in one sense is as an officiating, initiating guru, a Diksha Guru. And Bhishma Pitama is another sense as a Siksha Guru. He has taught a lot of things. So Arjuna is addressing both of them as teachers. And they are worthy of my worship. And actually he is saying, not just my worship, they are worthy of your worship also. So he is telling Krishna that these are elderly people, Bhishma and Drona specifically are worthy of your worship also. How is that? Because whenever Krishna came to Hastinapur, he will pay Dandvat Pranam to Bhishma and Drona. So he will offer his obeisances to both these personalities. And actually sometime Bhishma will say, why you are paying obeisances? Because Bhishma knew he is the Supreme Lord. And Bhishma will sometimes say, you should not pay obeisances. Why you are paying obeisances? And Krishna will say, no, you are senior in age. And Bhishma will say, Ganit ke kaun se aankde se main senior hun? It's so indirectly. So they will have that kind of exchange. But Krishna, just not to show his superiority as a Supreme Lord, just from the worldly point of view, because they are senior in age, so Krishna will pay obeisances to Bhishma and Drona. So Arjuna is reminding him that whenever you used to come, even you used to worship them. You used to pay obeisances. So now how can I counterattack them? And Guru Nahatva hi Mahanubhavan. So see other address which Arjuna is using. Mahanubhavan. What is the meaning of Mahanubhavan? Mahan Anubhava. So Mahanubhavan. So these people are very experienced people. Very learned people. So they have taught us so many things. So better is to live by begging, rather than killing them and getting the victory. Now why Arjuna is saying I have to kill them? Arjuna knows if we want to get victory in the war, there is no other way to get victory. We have to kill them. So there is no victory without killing them. So he is clearly saying if we kill them, all the enjoyment we get will be tainted with their blood. So now for Arjuna gives his final reasons why he doesn't want to fight. Text 6. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. So that is Arjuna's final response. Why I do not want to fight. What is that final response? Indecision. I don't know what is good. Should we get victorious or should they get victorious? Conquering them or being conquered by them? I don't know what is good. So I do not want to fight. Even if we fight, we get victorious. If we all the sons of Dhritarashtra, the word uses Pramukhe Dhritarashtra. All the Pramukh son, all the Pramukh putra of Dhritarashtra are killed. Who are the Pramukh? The Pramukh sons of Dhritarashtra as the prime sons. Duryodhan and Dushasan. Right? They say even if we kill all these people, the Pramukhe Dhritarashtra, the prime main sons of Dhritarashtra who are in the forefront, we should not care to live. Even though they are standing in front of us with the desire to fight. So now 2.7. So I wanted to just come directly to 2.7, not spend too much time on these other verses. 2.7 is a very, very important verse. It's kind of as a turning point. So when Arjuna finally spoke that verse, that is when Krishna started speaking. And that is how whole Bhagavad Gita came in front of us. If Arjuna did not speak this 2.7, our course in Bhagavad Gita will be done today. Right? Because 2.7 is spoken, that's how the whole further Bhagavad Gita came up. Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita. So this is the turning point. Karpanya dosho upahata sabhava prachhami tvam dharma sammoodha chetaha yachriyasya nishchitam bruhitanme Shishyaste ham shadimam tvam prapannam. Anybody want to recite? Very nice shloka. Sujata Mata, you want to recite?
Karpanno dosho upahata sabhava prichhamitam dharma sammurachita Achyo Sanishchitam bhuhitam me shishyastehaṁ sadhimam tam prapannam.
Karpanya dosho upahata svabhava पृच्छामि त्वं धर्म सम्मूढचेत यच्छ्रयास्यान्निश्चितं ब्रूहि तन्मे शिष्यास्तेहं शादिमां त्वं प्रपन्नम्. So all the words in this are like carefully chosen. It's like all the nice diamonds stuck on a thread, nice necklace like that. This is Arjuna's offering to Krishna finally as a garland. All the carefully chosen words. It says karpanya. Karpanya dosho upahata sabhava. So karpanya means miserly. Dosha, like the faults or the weakness. So Krishna Arjuna is saying, because of this miserly weakness, I have forget my duty. I am acting against my nature. Sabhava. Sabhava is nature, right? So Arjuna is saying, I am acting against my nature because of this miserly weakness. Karpanya dosha. Prachami tvam dharma sammudha chetaha. Prachami, I'm asking. So I'm asking you because I have forgot my dharma. I am completely forgot what is my duty. Yat shreya seya nishchitam bruhitan me. So he uses the word shreya. We discussed in first chapter in one verse. So there's word shreya and prayas. So shreyas and prayas. So he's saying, tell me what is good for me, ultimate good for me. Tell me that for certain. Shishyastiham. Now I am your disciple. Shadimam, please instruct me. Tvam prapannam, I am surrendered unto you. So now here Arjuna is stopping his friendly talk. He is not telling now, right? He is not telling that, okay, I don't want to do this, don't want to do this. Now he is asking that, now you please instruct me. I am a soul surrendered unto you. I am your disciple. Please instruct me. Tell me for certain what is good for me. What is ultimate good for me? Shreyas. Because I have forgotten my dharma. I am overcome. This miserly weakness has overcome me. And I am completely acting against my nature. What is Arjuna's nature? As a kshatriya. Kshatriya means kshat trayate iti kshatriya. Right? Who protects against harm. So he is supposed to fight against the party who is on the side of adharma. So he is supposed to fight, protect the whole world against the adharmic rule and establish a dharmic rule. So there are two words actually, karpanya. So kripana and brahmana. What is kripana? Kripala means miser. And brahmana means who is more open-minded. Like who is giving.
Generous.
So brahmana's duty is what? Jajan, jajan, patan, patan, dan, dakshina. Right? So he gives knowledge. And kripana is who is miser. Even if he has something, he doesn't want to give. So he says, I have come upon some miserly weakness has come upon me. So in our point of view also, we have been given higher intelligence. The human form of life means higher intelligence. And we are supposed to utilize that higher intelligence for what purpose? For what purpose?
To get the divine love.
So the first formism of Brahma Sutra is Athatoh Brahma Jigyasa. So we should utilize our higher intelligence to know about the Supreme Lord and develop love for Him, re-establish our relationship with Him. So that is the intelligence given in human form of life. But if we lock up all that intelligence in the back of some portion of brain and use a little bit of intelligence just to do all those basic activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, so it's like we are acting as a kripana. We have given a lot of intelligence, but we are not using that. And using a little bit of intelligence to just go about our regular materialistic activities. Like a Kripna person, Kanjus. Kanjus kya hota hai? Bahut sara dhan hai uske paas. He has lot of money. He lock all the money in a closet. Tijori mein band karke taala laga ke beggar ki tarah rahega phir bhi wo. Like a pauper. फटे हुए कपड़े पहने वही सिंपल से यार खाने पीने के लिए वही सिंपल सा कुछ घर पे नहीं है सो अ माइजरली पर्सन डज लाइक दैट सो सेम वे इफ वी एक्ट एज अ माइजर आफ्टर गेटिंग ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ लाइफ वी आर सपोज टू यूटिलाइज हायर इंटेलिजेंस फॉर अ हायर पर्पज ऑफ लाइफ सो सेम वे अर्जुन इज सेइंग आई हैव बिकम अ कृपणा अ माइजरली वीकनेस हैज कम अपॉन मी आई डू नॉट नो व्हाट इज द वैल्यू ऑफ लाइफ आई एम जस्ट अटैच्ड टू दिस बॉडीली प्लेटफॉर्म Acting against my nature. So Arjuna now is saying, even if I become a beggar, he's ready to become a beggar, right? Better to live on begging rather than to kill these people. And Arjuna, Krishna is indirectly guiding him, pointing him that now you are thinking I will live like a beggar. Now further you will go on begging. So suppose, let's say you give up this fight, you go live on begging. And you go to beg for alms. If somebody does some kind of a taunt on you, sarcastically tells you something, you got some big body, why don't you do some work and earn your livelihood? You're begging alms. It happens, right? In our cities, we know, sometimes beggar come. What do we tell the beggar? Arre, kaam karke khao, kuch kya begging kar rahe ho, kya kyun mang rahe ho, bhikhari ki tarah mang rahe ho. So, Krishna is indirectly telling, okay, if you go beg for alms and somebody sarcastic makes some sarcastic comment on you, Your nature is Kshatriya, you will get angry and you will kill that person right there. So why you want to kill that innocent person? Better you engage in fight here. Do your duty, act as per your sabhava. So generally what happens, if a person, whatever nature he has, he carries that nature. If a dog, you dress up a dog nicely like a king and put him on a throne. So how long the dog will stay there, sit quietly there on the throne, dressed up like a king? As soon as he sees a bone down the stairs, he immediately give up, throw all those nice garments and jump to get that bone. Right? So it's very hard to change that nature acting on a material platform. So to change our old conditioning, old nature, only way it can happen is when we take to the higher consciousness. As a spiritual consciousness, then it's possible. A Kshatriya can turn into a Brahmana, like we know Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya, he was a king. And he did a lot of austerities and he became a great sage. So when somebody takes to the spiritual platform, it's possible to change the nature. But staying in the same level of consciousness, it's not possible. So Arjuna is saying, I'm acting against my nature. And he is himself doubtful. How long I will continue that? And then, prachamitvam dharma sammood, I have forgot my duty. Completely forgot my dharma. So I am asking you, tell me for certain what is best for me. Yat shreya. So prayas is, we do all prayas, endeavor. To earn money, to take care of family, to take care of house. That is prayas. Shreyas is our ultimate good. How we can cut down this cycle of birth and death. How we attain the love of God. Go back to the kingdom of God. So Arjuna is asking, tell me for certain what is best for me. Shishyasteham. Now I am your disciple. So this is the turning point. So he is stopping this friendly talk. He is accepting Krishna as his guru. And becoming the disciple. Now the word Shishya comes from Shash Dhatu. So Shash means Shashan, right? Hindi word Shashan or Sanskrit word Shashan means to rule. So we can be ruled by somebody on the strength of weapon. Somebody can forcibly rule on us. And another meaning of Shash is based on Shastra, scripture. So one can guide us on the strength of scriptures. So the Shishya word also comes from that Shashdhatu. To become Shishya means disciple. English word is disciple. What is the meaning of disciple? One who is ready to be disciplined. Right? So far, we want to act our life whatever way we want. Becoming a disciple means we are ready to be disciplined, to follow a certain discipline. That is disciple. So, Arjuna is saying, Shishyasteham, I am your disciple now. You please instruct me. Shadi mam. Tvam prapannam, I am surrendered unto you. So, Arjuna is exhibiting all the qualities of a good disciple. Not just a disciple, a good disciple. Actually, Krishna tells the quality of a good disciple. In chapter 4, he tells what is the duty of a disciple. What a disciple should do. And Arjuna, before even Krishna tells that, Arjuna is exhibiting all those qualities. One is to surrender. So in 4th chapter, Krishna will tell, one should approach the bona fide guru, pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So these are the three characteristics of a good disciple. Paripatena, one should fall down at the feet of a guru. Surrender, basically surrender to guru. Pariprashnena, in a very humble mood, one should inquire. Not in a challenging spirit. That, oh, I want to see if you really know something or not. So not in a challenging spirit, but humble mood, one should inquire. So when Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though they were very learned people, how they approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? With a blade of grass in their under their teeth, in a very humble mood, that we are mudhas, we don't know anything, you please guide us, please instruct us. So disciple should not pose in front of the guru, in front of the teacher, that, oh, I am a very learned person. Even though we may know a lot of things, but in front of guru, we should act like very humble, meek person, that you please tell me what is real good for me. So Arjuna is already exhibiting that quality. And sevaya, he is ready to do whatever Krishna will say. So these are the three qualities which Arjuna already exhibited. Not just love for guru, dependence on guru, asking him for guidance. So from this verse, two specific things I want to mention. One is, finally Arjuna surrendered. That, okay, I cannot solve my dilemma. I cannot solve my dictations of mind, myself, so I want your guidance. So what happens is, when we are in some problem, if we try to solve our problem by ourselves, what happens? So first of all, we cannot solve a problem by the same consciousness with which we went into the problem. Right? If based on our certain consciousness, we get into the problem with the same level of consciousness, how we can come out of the problem? To come out of the problem means we need to get to a higher consciousness. So for example, if somebody falls into a quicksand, if that person who is fallen into quicksand, and if he is doing all the jugglings, jerkings, motion movements, what will happen? He will sink more and more. Right? So staying in that consciousness, in that problem situation, we cannot come out from that problem. From the same level of consciousness by which we went into problem, we cannot come out of problem. So in material world, any material problem, we cannot solve with the same material consciousness. You know what happens if a fly, so if there is a big spider web, and a fly gets into that spider web. A fly is trying to get out of that spider web, flying around here and there. She entangles more and more. And the spider is waiting. When she is completely entangled, she will come and swallow that fly. How the fly can come out? If from outside somebody cut that web, and then fly can be freed. So same way, if we are in some material consciousness, material problem, with our level of same consciousness, we cannot come out of that problem. So we need guidance from somebody who is at a higher level of consciousness. So that's why I say one should approach the guru. So Arjuna, understanding his situation, that I cannot come out of this bewilderment. So I need your guidance. So please guide me. Now asking for guidance also, he is exhibiting the relationship as a love and dependence on the person from whom we seek guidance. The scriptures give various examples to understand that point. One is the bumblebee and flower. Madhumakhi. Madhumakhi and or fool. Second example is fish and water. And third example is calf and cow. So in case of bumblebee and flower, what is bumblebee is doing? Bumblebee, what is the relation of bumblebee and flower? So bumblebee is always roaming around that flower and sucking the nectar, creating honey. So in that case, so bumblebee has love for the flower and she is fully dependent on flower to get that nectar. And but is that bumblebee sucking up all that nectar, creating that honey for herself? Who utilizes that honey? Ultimately, we utilize that. Humans utilize that honey. But bumblebee is doing all that labor. So she has love for the flower. She has the dependence on flower. And she is doing all that work for others' benefit. So Arjuna here, Arjuna's relationship with Krishna, Arjuna is like the bumblebee. Not just bee. Bee and honey. Bee and flower. What is the relationship of bee and flower? Does they have any relationship? Makhi. Makhi doesn't go on the flower.
Is it honeybee or bumblebee?
Honeybee or bumblebee. It's
honeybee. Here they call bumblebee, but actually it's honey.
Right, so madhumakhi.
Yeah. Madhumakhi, yes. Bee.
So a normal bee, makhi, does that has any relationship with flower? Fly. Fly.
Bee means makhi only.
Bee is like, ah yeah, there are different things. So fly. Fly has any relationship with flower?
No.
Okay. So fly doesn't go to the flower. She goes on to the dust pile. Right? Yeah. But here, the honeybee, she captures all that nectar. So Arjuna is like the honeybee. He is asking, showing the love and dependence. So Krishna is like the flower. So Arjuna is sucking up all that nectar. And who is going to utilize that nectar? In the form of this Bhagavad Gita, all that nectar has been given for us to utilize. Another example is the fish and water. So fish has dependence on water. In the Hindi, what is that poem? Machli jal ki rani hai, jeevan uska pani hai. So the fish has full dependence on water. She cannot live without that. So same way Arjuna cannot live away from Krishna. And he has showing full love and dependence on Krishna. Now calf and cow. What is the relationship?
Mother and
child.
So when we want to get milk from cow, until one brings the calf, cow doesn't give milk. But once you bring the calf takes little milk, then cow gives all the milk. Who uses that milk? Human beings. So there is specific shloka also in this context, which is that Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Parth Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Gita Amritam Mahat. So here Arjuna is acting as a calf, showing full dependence on Krishna, getting all the milk. So he takes the milk, he gets his jigyasa is satisfied. And the Bhagavad Gita has been given out. Who is going to use that? Gita Amrit Mahat. So this nectarian milk will be utilized by all the intelligent class of people. So Krishna has taken the role of Guru and Arjuna has taken the role of a disciple in the very humble mood, in the mood of love and full dependence. So these are the three characteristic qualities which we need to adopt to understand the scriptures better. Until we exhibit these qualities, it's very hard to understand the meaning of scriptures. So for us, it's a good fortune that somehow they said, Brahmand Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasad Paye Bhakti Lata Beach. So wandering around in this Brahmand, in this universe, with the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of Bhakti. Bhakti Lata Beach. So it's our good fortune that we have come in the association, in this process, that we are trying to understand this message. And it's our good fortune we came where Prabhupada has given out all this message very clearly, explaining in a very nice systematic way. And Prabhupada has already clearly told. Sometimes it happens, people have the desire to understand, but they don't get that right association to understand it properly. So they are going here and there, being cheated by different people, and they don't get the real message. So it's our good fortune we have come to this process, and Prabhupada has given very simple, straightforward process. He has shown the door. Right? He has shown the door. Here is the door for the spiritual world. All we need to do is keep ringing the bell. Keep knocking on the door. And what is that knocking, ringing on the door? This holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if we keep ringing this bell, keep knocking on the door, one day this door will open. But sometime we give up so quickly. We get discouraged or distracted. Both things happen. We get discouraged, we get distracted by different things, that we stop this knocking. We think, oh, nothing is happening. Door is not opening. But it's like we are knocking on the door and Krishna is walking towards the door to open it. But before he reaches, we stop. So Krishna is saying, no, this person is not serious. So Krishna goes back. So we need to keep knocking, keep ringing this doorbell. Keep chanting the holy name on a regular basis, sincerely. So that is the process, clear cut given. And we should adopt that process with full faith, full heart. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalau nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyatha. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Then the chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari. So, we'll stop here. Now Arjuna has accepted Krishna as Guru. Krishna is going to speak now. We'll start that from next session. We'll stop here. If anybody has any question, any comment, otherwise we will do some ringing now. So we'll chant one, we'll do one round of chanting all together. If anybody has any question in the timing, any comment, question, doubt? No? Keep listening, more will come.